Yeah, I mean, you know, just like I said, you know, talking about the pressure and just doesn't exist, you know? I mean, if like I said in the meeting, you know, no one thinks we're going to win 100 games this year. I guarantee you. You can ask everybody. Everyone's they're going to put all their money that we're not. So we have no pressure on us, you know? The pressure is on everyone else right now. Let them have it. If we lose, we lose. They already think we're the worst in baseball, you know? So let's just go out there, do what we do. We know we have a really good team. We know we have a really good, you know, just roster up and down. We have a lot of guys that, you know, I face a lot of these guys, and they're not fun to face. They're not, you know, uncomfortable with bats. And our team is, you know, I think it's a team that can produce runs. And I think we have, you know, a legit, you know, competitive team day in and day out. I mean, we're showing it every single day. We go out there and we compete.
But most of all, to you fans and to the players of the day, embrace this. It goes fast. These are the greatest fans you will ever play in front of. They will stand on their feet for you and cheer you on. They will let you know when you suck. Don't worry about it, guys. It's part of it. But push through, because you guys have it. You have the talent. Believe in each other. Care for each other. Pick each other up. And I just want to say to Steve and Alex, for this organization, David Stern, the best is yet to come for you guys. Just know that. It's a process, but the best will come. Because you guys have the right heart for it. To make these fans great again. Because they are faithful. And I experienced it more than you could ever imagine. And I'm forever grateful for this day. I celebrate you guys. I will never forget you guys. You guys will always be in my thoughts and my prayers. And I love you guys. And God bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
All right, we're back. So you heard J.D. Martinez after the Mets had their team meeting the other day, post-Jorge Lopez meltdown. I addressed that over at Beyond the Mic. You know, we all know it was bad behavior by Lopez. And this is a team that, you know, basically this homestand put the final nail in the 2024 Mets coffin. There won't be any sneaking into the postseason and entertaining the fans for a summer as they try to get this farm system. And again, you're seeing a lot of reports from, you know, guys in the media like John Harper about how they're finally investing in getting both the player development and the scouting side on the same page. There's a lot of things coming out about how disjointed the Mets organization has been. No big secret for quite some time. You know, part of that is the different presidents of baseball operations or those in charge, GMs, ownership groups, and things like that. So, you know, the Mets are already on their way to being better. And I think the thing that we see is that they're really starting to take a turn on the pitching side. It really hasn't been the pitching, especially the starting pitching, that has undone them this year, though you're starting to see some of the vets like Quintana and Minaya settle into what you knew they would be. Is when you're in that number three starter, bandwidth, you're going to have these four-inning clunkers. You know, they don't have a number one. They don't have a number two. Does Scott get into that conversation? Does Sprout get into that conversation? Do they go out and acquire that with money? I mean, it still seems like, you know, Cohen's money's out there. And think, you know, I've read something today that a lot of people in the industry still think that the Mets are the biggest threat to sign Soto away from the Yankees. That's a conversation for another day. But I think more importantly, what you saw this week leading to the Strawberry retirement ceremony, and like I said at the beginning, a very profound speech, was how the weight of being a member of this organization in this town, with the Yankees across town, with the expectations of New York, now with the added pressure. Remember, the Mets, as to quote Steve Phillips, who was the GM here, The Mets always had the expectations of the Yankees without the payroll and the budget of the Yankees. Now that excuse was taken away, that has amplified the expectations and made the weight of being a member of the New York Mets even heavier. You have to look across the way and see 27 World Series. You have to see Ruth. You have to see Gehrig. You have to see Jeter. You have to see Judge. You have to now see Soto. You have to see Munson and Reggie Jackson and Don Mattingly. And I could go on and on and on. Iconic players in not only New York history, but in the entire sport. And you have to live up to a foundation of lovable losers and Casey Stengel and amazing and believe, and then the failure and disappointment of the 80s. And then somehow, since Terry Pendleton's ball went over the wall and the Mets lost out in 87, one thing after another has led the Mets to leaving you wanting. And it has, you know, it has built up. And as Cohen's money came in and Cohen's bluster, just by his presence and his pocketbook and his wallet, have entered the building, the weight of being a member of the New York Mets is even greater. And then you have the modern media component, the immaturity of the modern media that grew up rooting for the Yankees, hating the Mets, a modern media that's very comfortable having platitudes for the Yankees and finding the banana peel to put the Mets, to put in front of the Mets for them to step on. And the Mets make it easy. Jorge Lopez made it easy. Jorge Lopez didn't understand by throwing your glove in the stands, you just slipped on a banana peel that you saw on the floor. And then all of a sudden, everybody finds out, which they should have known, because if I knew it by using Google when the Mets signed Lopez, that he had a situation at home with his child that may be putting undue pressure on himself in life, whether you want to use it as an excuse or not, all of a sudden now they get mad at the Mets for making them do what they would have done anyway. It tells you where you're at. But you want to know something, and I'm as guilty of that as anybody, because I like to point out the hypocrisy. I like this show to be a fair and balanced show that really lays out intelligently perspective on where things are, because nothing is ever one way or the other. That's what the problem, and maybe that's the business model of talk radio was built on, but it doesn't have to be that way, where it's like, take a very strong opinion and like drive it into the ground. And usually, the day after the Rangers get eliminated in the conference finals, you see they didn't want it enough. There's something missing with this team. Blow it up. That's where we're at in sports in New York. Blow it up. You know, and a smart GM like Stearns and a smart owner like Cohen, and I think Cohen listens too much to the fans, and I think Stearns is not going to. So I think that that's good. And that's the concern you have. You know, I think with the Lopez DFA, they DFA'd him because he showed no remorse in the postgame, and he lied about his conversation with Mendoza. And look, Narvaez getting cut right after, that's no coincidence. I always heard, now he has been bad, so it's an easy cut, but he's owed a bit of money, and you have, what, another week before Alvarez is back, and I don't know, Torrens looked good behind the plate today. Maybe they feel he's a better fit than Nito as the backup, we'll see. But the Mets knew they had some guys in the clubhouse that are negative, not part of the solution. And when you have young players entering into the clubhouse, like they will over the next year or so, you don't want that poison in there. You saw, I mentioned this on another show, you mentioned, you know, how it did to Kent and Ryan Thompson and some of the young players back in the mid-90s. But Strawberry, as you heard, and then you heard J.D. Martinez talk about, hey, you know, there is no pressure. Screw it. You know, let's just go out there and play. You know, nobody expects anything but us. You know, let's take the position where, hey, does it matter? Everybody thinks we're going to lose. Well, if that, you know, that may work. If that's a coping mechanism that you have, that may work. But that's not solving the problem. That's not embracing New York. That's not taking the bull by the horn and looking at this yoke and this now, you know, almost 40 years since they won a championship anvil on their back and say, you know, I'm going to bust through. That's not doing what Jalen Brunson's trying to do with the Knicks, which is take the bull by the horn and bring this organization to the next level and bust through years and decades of disappointment. What Strawberry's telling them is not exactly what, you know, I'm just using those two examples. One was said before the Strawberry speech, so it's not like it's in conjunction, but it goes to show you where these guys are in this clubhouse. And when I talk about finding a Strawberry, you don't have a Strawberry or that kind of talent on the roster right now. Because that's not Lindor. I think they thought they may have been getting that with Lindor, but that's not Lindor. Nimmo is a really, really good player, and I think he's a great role model, and he's certainly a leader. A leader, by the way, goes about his craft, his attitude, his ability to want to be here. But again, Nimmo is a run creator, a top of the lineup, and best case scenario, Energizer Bunny, who's now being miscast as a middle of the order guy. He's not that guy. And guess what? As much as we want Pete Alonso to be that guy, he's not. Pete has shown to be an emotional guy, a guy that feeds off the energy of his surroundings, a guy that could hit prodigious home runs and drive in runs, but a guy that's starting to show some of the warts and faults that were brought up when he first came up, where, you know, he's an okay first baseman. He's not developing into a more complete offensive player that maybe you saw him developing into a couple of years ago. He started to look Paul Konerko-ish, or, you know, maybe more in that vein, which is a really good player, but that's not a top 10 player. And the Mets right now need a guy to come in here. And that's why, as the offseason comes into play, and, you know, I don't see why he would leave the Yankees, even if the money was better here. The Mets looking at a guy like Soto, or someone who is an impact guy. I mean, look at what Soto has done to that lineup that already had Judge, that was struggling last year, and turned it completely around. And there's more to the Yankee lineup than just Soto, but he changes everything. Now, baseball is not just about one guy, but sometimes about one guy. Strawberry in a Mets lineup changed things. Soto in a Mets lineup changes things. The Mets don't have that kind of prospect on the offensive side down on the farm. Now, that doesn't mean they can't win. I mean, look, they went to the World Series, but look, in the postseason, guess what? Daniel Murphy played that role. He played that role. He played the role for about, you know, a month of Strawberry, or sometimes you wondered if he was Babe Ruth. But the real thing here is, are these guys listening? And most importantly, he was sending to Cohen and Stearns. They need to understand, you're at a critical mass. This organization, this team playing here is rough. And the fans have tuned out this team. I don't know how much more, you know, they got a decent crowd this weekend. I thought it was a little light for those who were in the stands for Strawberry, but I told you earlier, some of that has to do with the whole, you know, the burnout of a certain amount of the fan base that wasn't around for the 80s. But you're at a point where fans are starting to say, you know, I am burnt out from this team. I am burnt out from trying to will these guys to be better than they want to be. Because the fans, the good fans, are really trying to will this to get better. And they're getting burnt out and they're getting tired. And I know that I saw, because I almost was brought to tears myself. When Strawberry said those words, I was like, yes, somebody's finally saying it. And I exchanged texts with a former Met this morning. And I said, what did you think of it? And he said exactly the same thing. Hey, you got to embrace this stuff. You got to embrace what New York is all about. The guys that were successful here, even since Strawberry, they embraced it. Piazza embraced it. Those, you know, Olerud, Piazza, Ventura, Mets embraced it. They got old and they broke down, but they embraced it. Wright and Reyes, I don't know. I think they did for a time. I think there was a time they didn't. I think Wright withstood it and understood it later in his career. But it got big for them, too. You know, 07, 08, things got big for them. And they were criticized, too. Wright and Reyes were hugely criticized, especially Wright, for their lack of leadership. Everybody has been criticized in this town. Strawberry, Wright, Reyes, Harvey, Murphy, you know, on and on and on, on and on and on. So, you know, really, I think at this point, the Mets have to be honest with themselves, especially as they look to sign Pete Alonso, a guy that I'm not so sure, you know, and I've been one of those that have told you for a while, he's a $30 million a year guy because he's going to want that, and he's going to get that, and he's an historical home run hitter, and, you know, you don't just find those guys on trees. But at this point, to invest in Pete for a long-term contract, when I could see a large percentage likelihood that he continues to perform at the level that he currently is, or worse, and then potentially decline as he hits north of 30, and his bat slows down, you know, that could be a real ugly situation. Is this really putting the investment in a guy that could be the Strawberry of this Mets team? I don't think so. You know, you already did that with Lindor. And certainly he's a very good player, and he's going to be here a long time because You want to suck up and eat $200 million against the luxury tax for the next decade? I don't think that anybody could advise Cohen on that. I mean, he's not a worthless player, but you paid him like he was an A-Rod or a Strawberry, and he's not. And, you know, right now, I think taking a step back, going into the deadline, taking a step back, understanding the message that Strawberry put together and say, okay, who wants to be here and embrace this? And then get the guys out that don't, because the next wave of kids coming in, whether they're positional players or pitchers, need to come into this organization and have a clean slate and try to make this their own and not have all this sour energy and negativity that they have to deal with. So it was a beautiful day of baseball, a bad day on the field, a beautiful day in the pregame, a disappointing homestand, and I think a synopsis of where the Mets at was basically these last couple of days. The hitting hits, the pitching doesn't. The bullpen has been great early. The bullpen has been a mess, you know, really since Diaz went down. I mean, they've blown, what, six games in the last 30 days after the eighth inning. You cannot do that even if you are, you know, expected to make a wild card. There's no way you can do that. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens over the next 6 to 8 weeks. I think regardless of how the Mets play this, you know, if Martinez and the team want to play, hey, there's no pressure. To me, that's basically admitting that, you know, they're just going to go and do their thing and wherever the chips fall, they may. But deep down, they know that they're going to be out of here in about 6 weeks or 8 weeks. They know that. Martinez is going to be out. Alonso very well may be out. You know, who knows with McNeil? I did like how the front office shook things up with Torrens and Iglesias. I mean, a guy like McNeil has to realize, you know, you're about to lose your job to a 4A veteran in Iglesias. Think about it. You're about to lose your job to this guy. And Narvaez, you know, whatever his deal was, I always heard he wasn't the best worker. I never quite understood that signing, other than I think they wanted a little bit more offense from catcher if things didn't work, or a veteran hedge to Alvarez, which I think maybe that was the intent if Alvarez was bust. But, you know, I never understood that. And, you know, you see a team whose fabric was built on an elite closer. When that elite closer is no longer elite and now not even in uniform, what it does to the organization. So we are headed towards a rough summer of baseball on the field, but feel energized and excited about the fact that finally, for the first time in a long, 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 long time, you have a clear pathway to a reboot or a rebuild. And I don't think anybody's going to criticize it. There's no, if only, why did you short-circuit DeGrom early? Or, how can you waste McNeil and Pete's prime on a rebuild? There is no decent prime for Pete and McNeil. There is nobody on this team worth not going forward with the inevitable. Look, Lindor, he's rich. He's going to have to be here for the good times and the bad times. And in a lot of ways, he's reminding me of how Carmelo Anthony was with the Knicks. Brought in, you know, maybe not completely the same way, but brought in, and he just, as good as he was very good. The timing and the fit never made sense. So he was never Patrick Ewing, and he's certainly not Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. He's not Walt Frazier. He's not Bill Bradley. He's not Ewing. He's not somebody that could do the things that those great eras of Knicks history did. And I think Lindor, in a lot of ways, will be like that with the Mets. But who knows? When things get a little bit better here, and I don't think it'll be too long. It might take 24 to 36 months. But I think in the next couple of years, you'll see the worm turn. You know, Lindor could be a positive, a very good piece of the puzzle. Probably not worth $35 million, but you know how it goes with the free agent contracts. It's right place, right time. You know, houses sometimes are not worth the money that you paid for them, but in the market that you paid it, and at that current time, it was. You know, that's kind of, you know, how this thing goes. So it was an interesting weekend. I thought the Strawberry message was prescient. I thought the Strawberry message was profound. I thought the fact that it happened on a week where there was so much craziness with Lopez and the media and the Mets falling apart, having an awful homestand, and really questions about this core, which we've had for a couple of weeks, being up to the challenge that is the future winning of the New York Mets. I thought it all came together in a fabulous way. And I think looking back at Strawberry, I have a better appreciation for what he did on the field, because I don't think I appreciated him as much while he was playing. And I think that that's the part that Straw brought up that is important for all of us, is sometimes when things are good, let's really enjoy it and soak it in and not get caught up on some of the BS, because those times go by quick and you blink of an eye, it's 40 years later and the guy's up there getting his number retired into the rafters. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. So what's next? Well, London series next week, and I am interested in that. I know there's a big contingent of Mets fans in the UK that listen to this show. So I hope you're, if you have a chance, I hope you're going to make it over to the ball game. I can't make it to London. I'm sorry. You know, there's thoughts about doing it. I just can't make it happen. But I am going to enjoy watching it. Big announcement. I mean, you could, you know, find out more. I'll probably put it up over on Substack, you know, for free for everybody, but as well as on X, and, you know, you'll hear more. But I am going to be on a UK podcast, so stay tuned for that. So I'm going to be recording that podcast on Wednesday morning. So it'll be early Wednesday morning here in the United States. Obviously, what, 5 or 6 hours ahead? I can't remember exactly what you are in London right now, or the UK. So stay tuned for that. I'll be on a UK podcast spreading the gospel of the New York Mets. Hopefully we get more UK Mets fans out of that. And not like, is it possible that the UK Mets fans say, well, this is what the Mets independent media is about, I'm going to go find another team if this is the guy, you know? So I'm just joking, but I'm looking forward to that. We'll have some good UK London content. And then look, quite frankly, after that, it's going to be a look towards the deadline, a look towards the minor leagues. It'll be interesting to see how they handle some of these pitchers that are starting to show some really interesting things, like a Brandon Sproat down in the minors. Are these guys going to get a shot later this year, especially after the deadline when inevitably they're going to trade some of the veterans that are there? And, you know, ultimately, the draft is coming up. I don't know, you know, what the Mets' position, if you could realistically expect them to get the next Darryl Strawberry. They don't have a top pick, but you never know. You never know what you could get. You know, Mike Trout wasn't a number one overall pick in the country, you know, so that's part of it. But anyway, thank everybody for tuning in to the latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on X, Talking Mets No G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silvat, talkingmetspodcast.com, No G, Mike Silvat, talkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G. And of course, don't forget the newsletter, substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to welcome and thank the good folks from the Fan-Sided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week. Till then, take care, everybody.